Praise the Lord Jesus.
Man, these have been some great meetings.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies, for that song. Go tell the untold millions. A lot of people out there still haven't heard. Praise the Lord. Man, we've had some great meetings this week, haven't we?
Amen.
I've been blessed.
Amen.
I've been really, really blessed. I've been really, this time, this trip, I don't know what it has been, what it was exactly, but it's been a real refreshment. It's been a real blessing being back here. I've been revived. I feel good. I feel I'm ready to get back and start preaching again. Start doing what we've been doing and start doing it all over again. It's great. Before I begin, I would like to just thank this church. Like my dad was saying, this is the best church I've ever found. Actually, up to this point, I thought so. Then I went up to Staten Island, and that was just as good. It's awesome. So I have actually two churches now that I love. So, you know, if you ever had a chance, go up there, you know. But this church is a real blessing. I grew up in this church. Some of you actually remember me just probably getting after me. Probably some of you after got after me many times. Yeah, Virginia's over there laughing at me. Like, yeah, that was you getting after you. And I was running around, little punk kid. Yeah, all of us missionary kids. Well, praise God. Praise God, missionary kids. Not all, but we, you know, we grow up and we still, praise the Lord, want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And I pray for our children, the next generation, that they will continue, working and praising the Lord and serving God. Those of you who took care of us this week with all the food, I gained a lot, and I will have to be working on that when I get back to Poland too. So thank you very much. Those of you who have been supporting us all of these years, for 11 years, me, my wife and I are 10, but I've been on mission for 11. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your generous gifts that have been very blessed. The mattresses were great. Oh, praise God. I have been very blessed to see so many friends and family year in and year out. Every time we come up, it's good to see you again. It hurts to say goodbye. For sure, nice to see you again. And this will be my last time to be speaking to you. So tonight, I want to challenge you. I hope these meetings have been a challenge.
Amen.
Have pushed you to your limit and even further. Because I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to just get satisfied. I know we're supposed to be satisfied with whatever state we are in. But God is not satisfied with wishy-washy. God is not satisfied with lukewarm.
Amen.
We want action. God demands action.
Amen.
We want to see things happen. So tonight, I would like to kind of just challenge you. And I want you to turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I want you to look at two verses with me. We're going to actually look at a story that is written in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it mentions them, just real quick, and we know it very well. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Heavenly Father, we do want to pray this evening that you bless this meeting. Bless your word as it goes out. May it touch hearts.
Amen.
May it not return unto us void. Lord, we pray that it would just move in the hearts of others. We pray, Father, that you would move, you would touch, Lord, you would open eyes, Lord. If there's anybody here tonight that is not saved, help them through this message to understand they need a Savior. If there's someone here who is backslidden, Lord, and they need to get right with you, help them to get right with you. If there's someone here who is faltering and not understanding and hesitating on some major decisions, Lord, help them to make that major decision this evening. Oh, Lord, I do pray that you just help us to understand your will and understand better what you desire of us. Help me, Lord, as I preach. Give me freedom and ease to preach, Lord. Give me the right words. Oh, Lord, I do pray that you would work through me. We pray in your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Abraham and Isaac. very well-known story. I mean, you can't talk about salvation and not somewhere in there mention what Abraham did with Isaac. It's just a beautiful story. It's a beautiful picture. But I want to also just look at that, not necessarily only as a gospel message, but also as a test that God had for Abraham. He put him in a very tight spot, in a very difficult position, that God demanded something that I don't know what I would have done if he would have asked that of me. And if you go back, and we will be looking at Genesis chapter 22, to look at the story. Open up your Bibles to Genesis 22. I want to look at that, and we're going to look just at a few things, not too many things. We finished meetings the other night at 9:30, so I think I have an hour and 15 minutes, so I got plenty of time. Nobody complained then, so I'm hoping, you know. Or did you? You probably mumbled under your breath. Genesis 22. Now you do remember that God promised Abraham he would bless his seed before he ever gave him Isaac, right? He said and promised Abraham, look, through you and through your seed, I will bless you. And your seed will be a number. Like the sand, just enormous amount. And this test of God's came after his promise. Look at 22:1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Interesting test. Abraham, after Isaac had been born to him, what a beautiful day that was. Can you imagine the day that Isaac was born to him? Oh, celebration! Man, I can't believe it. It happened. God blessed me. He promised he gave me a son, Isaac. Now, at this point, Isaac, we believe, is at least in his late teens, early 20s. That's been a while that he's been living. And Isaac is now, and Isaac is a grown man, and man, Abraham has been living the life. Life is good. He's been watching Isaac grow into a, from a boy, from a baby into a boy, from a boy into a teenager, from a teenager into a young man. And man, is he proud of his son. You have a son? You proud of your son?
Amen.
I got two. I would not give either one of them for anybody. I just wouldn't. But God tells Abraham, give me your son. It says here, and it came to pass after these things. So a moment, some years have passed when Abraham was not ready for this time, this temptation, this test. It was not ready. God did not prepare him. He did not say, all right, wake up. You know what? Before he even said it, in about 18 years, I'm going to prepare you for a test. Be ready. No. He didn't give him any warning whatsoever. It just happened. Out of the blue, it bang. Now what are you going to do about it? Offer your son. Abraham must have looked at Isaac as he was growing with great satisfaction, with pride and joy. Man, Isaac is his everything. His future. His future. The promise of God through Isaac given him. And you know, the love of a father for a son is something beautiful. Something like, God, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my son Man, this just moves me. The love that Abraham had for Isaac was so great that he never saw God's next move. He never even dreamt that God would ever ask him to do this improbable, impossible thing. Offer your son to me. Man, what would you have done? I mean, we go through these questions and we hypothesize. I know it's like impossible because really, you don't know until you're actually there. What would you have done? You know, somebody pulled a knife on you. I think I would do this, but you don't know. You freeze and want to do something. You don't know what. The test. Take his son, thine only son, and offer him on a burnt offering back to me. Wow. I want you to look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I don't know about you, but I think I probably would have woken up a little later. I probably would have spent the day with my son, I don't know, fishing, throwing a baseball around, doing something, enjoying last precious moments possible. No. His obedience is shameful to us. It shames us, his obedience. Such an incredible test, and he woke up the next morning early. We can't get early in the morning when we want to eat breakfast. And he wakes up early to obey God. He wakes up and he goes on his way to obey what God has ordered him to do that none of us would ever want to have to think about. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. God didn't even tell him where to go. Basically, he said, just go into that mountain, that direction, just go. Move. That direction, just, I want you to go. He went immediately, not wavering, not discussing with God, not arguing, not trying to plead with God, not trying to say, but Lord, think of what you're doing. You promised my seed. Now I'm not going to have him. Think of the logic. What are you doing? But no, he trusted God, who was ready. We don't know what's going through the mind of Abraham. But as a father, I can only imagine. Reading on, verse 4, then on the third day, it took him 3 days that this burden was on Abraham. Think of 3 days of wondering, how am I going to tell my son what I'm going to have to do to him? What words would you use to express to your son what Abraham was going to have to do? Imagine the torture that was going through his mind. How to put it? How to express it? How to answer the questions? There are going to be questions. And there were questions. Dad, where's the lamb? Hello? We got the fire. We got the wood. We got the altar. We got the mountain. We're missing something. God will provide a lamb. The test. Incredible. You know, the rest of the story is incredible and well known. You know, he goes off and God will provide. He ties up Isaac, places him on the altar, raises that knife, and he's... I don't know if he was hesitating. I don't know if he was like, okay, Lord, here it goes. Holding his breath. I don't know. But all I know is God said, Abraham. I want you to look at that. Let's look at that verse real quick. Verse 12. As Abraham is right here, just in the midair, probably even coming down, I doubt God would not would stop him unless it was actually coming down. He was actually going to do it. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Do you know what the real test was? Do you love me more than Isaac? Are you willing to put your Isaac on that altar and love me more than him? Think about it. Think about it. Laying his son on that altar. And even our text, if we go back to James chapter 2 where we were, if you look at that, what the Bible actually says is here, he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? By actually obeying God, it was as if he had offered him. Not physically, but he had given his heart and he had obeyed God to the point that he said, all right, Lord, you're right. I will do what you want. And he was ready to offer his Isaac. Are you ready to offer your Isaac on the altar? Now we have our own Isaacs. Each of us have gifts and talents and people that God has given us, has provided us, and sometimes we forget that God has given them to us. And God wants us tonight to think about, are you ready to sacrifice your Isaac on the altar? We cannot serve God unless we have removed those Isaacs and we have completely, wholly given ourselves to him. Isaacs are things that not necessarily are bad. Isaac, his son, not a sin. It was not a sin. It was his only son. It was something precious, a gift. But how many times things we don't consider as sin are standing in the way of God and you? Amen. Your children. Amen. Not a bad thing. Actually, the Bible says it's a gift. They're wonderful. They're great. When they're asleep. They're wonderful. But are you ready to set that aside and say, God is first? My family is second? No, many people don't go to the mission field or don't serve the Lord because, what would my family say? How would my family survive? My children, it'd be too much of a shock. Don't blame it on your kids. Don't blame your insecurity and your fears on your kids. It's not their fault. Amen. Actually, if you actually ask a missionary kid, we're pretty resilient. We can find ways to fall asleep even on hard floors. You're tired enough, you really don't care. Dad having a Bible study till 1 o'clock in the morning, you'll fall asleep anywhere. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as those Isaacs are out of the way. And God knows he has you completely, solely for himself. And that he can take hold of you and say, I want you to go there. And I want you to go there. Are you ready to obey and to listen and to sacrifice those Isaacs on the altar? Our Isaacs turn quite often into idolatry. That's basically what God wanted to prove to Abraham. I don't want what I have given you to turn into idolatry. I don't want the gifts. And many times people take the gifts like abilities. Oh, you sing beautifully. Nice, you have a good voice. Are you ready to sacrifice that ability on the altar, your Isaac? And say, all right, Lord, I will give up my career in ministry, or my career in singing, my albums and millions of dollars I could make, if by singing and solely giving my life to you. And sometimes many Christians actually say, that's not worth it. I am not ready to sacrifice that, Isaac. I want to go on and make myself a career. Maybe then I can support missionaries once I get my millions. And they never do. Because it's always my career. Because they put me first. Because they put their Isaac first. What would have happened if Abraham had not sacrificed Isaac? Have you thought about that? What would God have done if Abraham did not obey? Man, I can't imagine. It would have ruined everything. The beautiful picture of God and His Son, of the cross, of the obedience of Jesus Christ. He was obedient. How many times do we mess up God's picture when God calls us to sacrifice something and we do not? God gives us people in our lives. And He wants us to sacrifice the affection that we desire from others. We love this. We desire affection. We desire the good job. We desire this, the people around us to just lift us up. We desire the possessions we crave from others. The dependence we have on others. On people, family, friends, our pastors, our elders. Things. We seek for things that God has given us to take the place of God. TV, money, cars. You got nice cars here. Michal and I are always looking at the trucks. Whoa, another nice truck. Look at that one. Big truck. Look at the, man, look at the wheels on that thing. Oh, look at the, hear the sound of that roar. Wow. It's awesome. We get a little Polski Fiat, beep, beep, going down the roads down in Poland. Not much of a comparison. Little toy cars, zip, and we help them on along. Are you willing to sacrifice your beautiful baby on the altar? You know, some may say it's not worth it. I love it too much. And I sure hope tonight, your challenge tonight to think about, you know what? It's not worth it compared to the obedience that God demands of me. Are you willing to sacrifice your Isaac on the altar? Luke chapter 4, verse 26. This is not right. Uh-oh. I said the 26. All right, let's go somewhere else. Let's go Matthew chapter 10 first. That didn't work out like I wanted it to work out. Matthew chapter 10. Make a little detour. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What is God saying him right here? Sacrifice your Isaacs for me. Am I worthy for you to say my family, my children? Maybe tonight God is saying to you, you need to stop arguing and stop giving excuses and start serving God. Or maybe something's happening. You know, I don't want my son to be a missionary or my daughter. Or I don't want them to serve God. Or something is happening. I don't know. But I want us to think about what Jesus is saying right here. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Which means there are people on this earth who love father and mother more than God. Do you know how many times we have been told on the streets by people we've preached the gospel to? They say, you're right, we believe you, the Bible is true, but my mother, but my father, I can't do it because I will destroy them. You're not worthy of me, God, Jesus is saying. Daughter, he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What must we do? He that finds his life shall lose it. We must lose our lives for his sake. You want to please God and serve God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Lose your life. You lose your life in this world, you'll find it in that world. You give your life to God solely in this world, you will find eternity in that world. Ah, there's nothing better. There's nothing better compared to what God wants for you. And what God can do is completely out of your imagination. What God can do, how he could bless you. Look at the blessing that Abraham had by obeying God. And doing exactly how he wanted it to happen. The blessings are still happening today because of his obedience. God is asking you tonight, do you love me more than the most cherished possession in your life which I have given you? Do you love me more? Do you love me more, God is saying? Put me first. Not you, not your family, not your possessions, not your abilities, not anything else. You put God first and you will see enormous blessings coming out of it. You follow God's will and every step of your way will be blessed. And maybe it'll go through some wilderness, but man, you will find comfort in that wilderness knowing that God is with you. Man, there's nothing better and there's nothing worse than going through a wilderness knowing that God is not there. I'd rather go through a wilderness with God with me than go through a patch of beautiful water full of forest and have no God. I want you to think about that question. Do you love me more than all of these? Jesus asked that question. Do you love me more? To Peter. Peter, do you love me? 3 times he asked that question. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you really love me? The third answer, I think Peter finally caught on to what Jesus was saying. He said, Lord, you know. You know all things. You know I love you. You know my actions sometimes don't show it, but I love you. And the next step, you see him preaching God's word. And you see blessings flowing because he understood God was first. We have a song, and we actually sang it this evening. 99. Is your all on the altar? Huh. That's a question. That's not a statement. Yes, my all's on. Are you sure? Your all. Every single part of your sinful nature, is it on the altar? All of those Isaacs who you think are not so bad, but are holding you back, are keeping you from actually obeying God to the fullest and getting the what God has truly has in store for you. Man, if we only knew how much God wants to bless us. That in itself is amazing to know that God wants to bless us Who are we? Man, we are nobodies, as we heard this morning. This evening, Michael, we are nobody. God yet wants to bless us. He wants to get in there and use you. He does. He wants that. The only way He can save souls, and He wants souls to be saved, is for you to be used by Him. He needs ministers. He needs voices. Oh, He can raise up rocks, but He didn't choose the rocks. He chose you and I. He chose every one of us to be His voice and to preach the gospel to anyone and everyone we encounter around the world. But He won't give us that job until He knows He has your heart and your attention. Abraham was caught by God unaware. Abraham was not prepared. Maybe tonight you weren't prepared to be challenged in this way. Maybe tonight was a challenge of, wait a sec. I have Isaacs in my life I need to offer on the altar? Yes, we all do.
Amen.
Each and every day.
Amen.
We need to sacrifice our Isaacs each and every day. Without hesitation. Wake up early in the morning and take care of the problem. Take care of what God has given you to do. Don't hesitate. Don't think about it. Don't argue with God. There's an interesting verse in the Bible that says, basically it's just saying, stop arguing with God. They won't kill you. It caught me one time. I learned that. Or it says, stop meddling. There you go. Stop meddling with God in the English. Stop meddling with God so that He may not kill you. We meddle too much with God. We talk back too much to God. We say, but God, I really don't think that's an Isaac. I really don't consider that a problem. No. It's my son. Abraham had all the reason in the world to say no. To say, but Lord, think about it. You blessed him. You told me I would have a blessing through Isaac, and it doesn't make sense. You see, sometimes God's tests don't always make sense to us right now. But they're put there to test us and to push us for us to think, you know what? God knows better than me. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are higher than mine. And I don't know exactly why, but He likes it when we come to the point where we depend on Him. And we, as a nation, we've stopped depending on Him. And we, and this congregation, we ought to only depend on Him for everything. Depending on Him, trusting in Him, God will provide a lamb, is what Abraham told his son. Don't worry, my son. God will provide. He knew that God would provide one way or another. Maybe by sacrificing his son, even if he killed him, he knew that God was strong enough to raise his son from the dead. Even if he killed him, even if it actually happened that way. He knew that God will provide one way or another. God does not waver in his promises. He does not go back on his promises. He promises he will keep it. But we just need to trust him to the point where even we think we will break. Oh man, I believe Abraham's heart was breaking that night. That night, or that day, that next morning he woke up, it was breaking all the way for 3 days. And yet he did not waver. I surrender all. I surrender all. Maybe tonight you're here and you are not saved, and what I'm saying doesn't quite make sense to you. But for you to enter into the kingdom of God, for you to be a child of God, you have to surrender all. Surrender to His power. Surrender to His guidance. Surrender all of your desires and say, God, I give you my all for you. Tonight is the day, is the night of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says.
Amen.
Do not wait another moment. Rise up early. Get it done. Surrender all to God. Today you can be saved.
Amen.
Today is a day of salvation.
Amen.
Anyone and everyone, from a child to an old adult, as long as there's life in your breath, today is the day of salvation. I don't know if you are here and you are not saved. If you are not saved, I want you to let you know you have a possibility to have the promises of God. Life is not so hopeless as you may think it is. Life may be difficult, but with God, it is not hopeless. He can today change and transform your life. If you today, you are a believer, and you claim to say, Jesus is my God. Jesus is my Savior. I live for Him. The question is, do you love Him more than your Isaac? And are you willing to sacrifice your Isaacs on the altar this evening? In a moment, we will have an altar open here. And there will be a moment, a possibility for any one of us in this room to say, Lord, take my Isaacs. I want you to have them back. You give me what you think I deserve. I want to sacrifice my children and give them back to you. I sacrifice my abilities, I give them back to you. I sacrifice all the gifts that you have given me, I give it back to you. I sacrifice my ministry, I give it back to you. I want you to have it all, and I want you to know I don't want anything to stand in the way between you and me. I don't want to ever think that my ministry is more important than God, or my family is more important than God. I don't want ever to think that my career is more important than God. These are things God has given me as a gift. Now, am I willing to give that back to Him to say, Lord, I don't want it to become an idol. I don't want it to become something that offends you. I want you to know I am entrusting my whole self, my all. I surrender all this evening. And on this altar, we may say, Lord, I love you more. No, God wants your heart. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, my son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. And another verse in Luke chapter 12 that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Basically is, where is your heart this evening? The point is, how many of us have Isaacs that we are unaware of that are causing friction, causing a distance between me and God? What God wants, is He not getting through to me completely? Abraham had a test. The test is also this evening for all of us. And I'm speaking to myself too. This was an eye-opener for me, myself. I got Isaacs too, same as you. I am not any better or any worse. I have the same failings, the same issues that you and I have. You have them, I have them. And we all must sacrifice these Isaacs. We must always put these Isaacs on the altar and say, Lord, they are yours. You lead me and you guide me. Do you love me more than your Isaac? Amen.